Well, Merry Christmas to everyone. It's a few days away, but none too early to wish that. I expect that many of us here will have a Merry Christmas, but in different ways, different family situations, times perhaps with friends, maybe some large gatherings and some small. We just need to bear in mind and in our prayers that not everyone will have the merriest Christmas because of their circumstances. Some will have a Christmas that is far from merry. Some will not be with family and friends. Those folks need our prayers and our awareness. And with that, it will just increase the joys and the merriness that we have with our families and friends, won't it? A good thing for us to always think about. Who here has any experience with sheep or shepherds? Anyone at all? When I was 7 years old, we lived on a 10-acre farm several miles out of Hot Springs, Arkansas. And one afternoon, I had experience with sheep, and for that one afternoon, I was a shepherd. We had some neighbors that lived about, probably a quarter mile down the road from us, and for whatever reason, they were going to be away from their farm for a day or so, and they had sheep and goats. Not a lot, just probably a dozen or maybe 24, and they needed us to shepherd their sheep from their farm up to our farm for a day or so. And so my parents and I walked down the road, and we gathered the sheep, and we took them back up the road to our house. And in the process of that, my parents and I took on the smell of sheep. Now, let me just tell you that the smell of sheep is not particularly pleasant. And as I said, that these friends of ours had not only sheep, but some goats as well, and the goats came with us. We had no sooner gotten the goats and the sheep into our barn area, and one of the goats decided that the smell of sheep on me was unacceptable. It put its head down with its horns forward and started scratching on the ground and looking at me. I ran as fast as my little seven-year-old legs would take me for the first open door in the house, which was into the kitchen. And I ran with all my might through that door and slammed the door, just getting there barely in time before that goat hit that door so hard I thought he was going to knock it off the hinges. I was scared to death. My mother, on the other hand, thought it was the most hilarious thing she'd ever seen in her life and broke into uncontrollable laughter. That was my first and my last experience with goats, and particularly with sheep. You know, sheep are valuable. They're valuable for their milk, they're valuable for their meat, they're valuable for their wool, and they're valuable for their hides. But sheep are among the most helpless animals on the face of the earth. They require human help in every regard. They need a shepherd. In the ancient Middle East, a chief shepherd was the person who owned the sheep. And he often assigned his children, his relatives, or his hired hands to do the actual shepherding. A shepherd's responsibility is to lead the sheep to plenty of food and water. It's to account for the presence of each sheep and to find those sheep that are missing. And it's to protect the sheep from wild animals, from thieves, and from robbers. In John chapter 10 and verses 1 through 18, Jesus pictured himself as not only a shepherd, but as the good shepherd. When we read this section of the Gospel of John, we need to read it with the background of Ezekiel chapter 34. In that chapter, God criticized Israel's leaders, those men who were under-shepherds, if you will, who God had assigned to lead Israel. God was very angry at these under-shepherds because they had done everything that a shepherd should not do. These were bad shepherds. And so God promised that he would remove them and that he, as the chief shepherd, would directly shepherd his people. The word shepherd was used to apply to leaders, as their responsibility is to be caring spiritual oversight overseers of God's people. Later on in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 23, God promised to set over his people, his servant David, to shepherd them. This was a key terminology in the prophecies. David was often raised because it had been promised that through the house of David, a Savior would come. As Ezekiel gives this prophecy, David had long been dead. And so this prophecy really had to do with David's ancestral line, his descendants. And so the promised Messiah was to come through David's lineage. And this would be the Christ. This would be Jesus. In John 10, Jesus takes the title shepherd then to align himself with God and with David, because both of those, one physically and one spiritually, had lovingly guided and provided for and protected God's people. In John chapter 10, in verses 1 through 6, Jesus contrasts true shepherds with all those others. He says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they, speaking of the Jewish leaders, did not understand what he was telling them. So the setting here is a sheep pen, where more than one shepherd gathered his sheep for the night. The sheep pen protects the sheep from wild animals. It protects the sheep from thieves who use trickery to get those animals. And it protects them from robbers who use violence to steal the sheep. Jesus' point was that none of these cared about the sheep. And that was key, caring about the sheep. The watchman knew the shepherds whose sheep were in the pen. He opened the gate only to them, to no one else. The sheep know and respond only to their shepherd's voice, and they follow only him. So shepherds lead their sheep rather than drive them. And there's a key reason for this. Sheep do not know where to go. And so they'll scatter if they're driven instead of led. There's an intimate knowledge and relationship between sheep and shepherds. The watchmen may have been those who studied the prophecies about the Messiah, so they knew who they should welcome. Luke chapter 2 and verses 25 through 38 tells of Simeon and Anna. These were people who met Jesus as an infant when he was taken up to Jerusalem. They were led by God to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. These were watchmen, if you will. Jesus says he came to the gate. That's the good shepherd who comes to the gate. That means that he came by the lawful or appropriate or correct entry. That is, he came by fulfillment of the prophecies about the Messiah. False messiahs did not fulfill the prophecies. Their only goal was to gain control. Jesus used this illustration to distinguish himself and his call from all of those other so-called or false messiahs. Jesus further emphasized his legitimacy, though, in verses 7 through 10. There it reads, "Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. In ancient Israel, as well as that whole Middle Eastern area, shepherds had some standard practices. As they bedded down their sheep for the night in the pen, they let one in at a time. And each shepherd would examine each sheep as it went into the pen through that gate. He would check it for injury, and he would tend its wounds. If a particular sheep seemed to be thirsty, he had a pail of water to give it water. And when all of the sheep were in the pen, that shepherd laid himself down in the entryway to that pen. And in that position, he kept his sheep in and guarded them from danger. He became the gate. And so as he controlled the going in and out of that pen, he was effectively the gate. Jesus echoed this when he said later on, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus again distinguished himself from false messiahs or false shepherds when he said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, Jesus makes a very strong distinction here that has some subtleties that we don't think about. When he says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, he says the thief is only coming to get from the sheep what the sheep has as its resources. He comes for the milk. He comes for the meat. He comes for the wool. He comes for the hide. He does not come to perpetuate the life of that sheep that it may provide more. He comes for what it has developed into. He cares nothing about the sheep. He cares only about himself and what he can get from the sheep. And that's exactly the picture we find back in Ezekiel chapter 34. The idea of a divine shepherd is found not only in Ezekiel 34, but it's found also in that very popular psalm, Psalm 23. And it begins, the Lord is my shepherd. Jeremiah speaks of gathering Israel as a flock of scattered sheep. And Jesus alludes to this himself in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Ezekiel spoke of God when he prophesied, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep, and I will rescue them. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down. This is a prophecy of God and his people, his sheep. Now, you and I might find that to be a distasteful term. Like I said earlier, sheep don't smell very nice. And sheep aren't very smart. Sheep tend to scatter. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to take care of themselves. As that's applied to human beings, well, we're far above that, aren't we? If we don't smell very good, we either take a bath or we put some more cologne on or deodorant. And we know exactly where we're going, don't we? All of the time. Absolutely. Every waking moment. We know exactly where we're going, don't we? I think the term, yeah, right, comes in here somewhere. How many times have we had no clue as to where we were going? Particularly when it had to do with the nature of our life, the nature of our relationships, the nature of our relationship with God and our sense of who to believe in and what direction of life we need to go. Shepherding involved protective concern, and it also involved a sacrificial attitude. Because if the wild beasts or the thieves or the robbers came for the sheep, whether they were in the pen or out pasturing, the shepherd was expected to protect the sheep at all costs, including that of his own life. The good shepherd will sacrifice his total being, body and soul, for the life of the sheep. And so Jesus was predicting his willing self-sacrifice for his life, for the lives, rather, of others. The hired hand that Jesus speaks of in verse 12 could be false messiahs. He had already spoken about those who came before him. Or it could have been the self-centered Jewish leaders of his day who positioned themselves as the shepherds of Israel. But neither really cared about the spiritual well-being of their people, the sheep. They only were concerned about what they could get for themselves. And this helps us to really better understand what Peter, Christ's apostle, says later on in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, when he speaks of the leaders of his church, of Christ's church, as the shepherds over God's people. He says there, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Just as Jesus impressed in John chapter 10 and in verses 3 through 5 that the sheep have an intimate knowledge of the shepherd, in verses 14 through 15, he emphasized that he, the good shepherd, knows or has an intimate knowledge of his sheep. And that intimacy, Jesus parallels intentionally to the relationship between himself and his Father God. Father God knows Jesus as his son, and he loves him for his obedience. Listen to those words again that Jesus says in verses 11 through 18. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, not only to take it up, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." One scholar offers these thoughts about Jesus as the Good Shepherd and the Father's love of him as that Good Shepherd. The Father loves the Son because of the Son's utter self-dedication to the Father's will, even when this involves the laying down of his life. The Father would indeed glorify him with the glory which he had with the Father before the world existed. But the laying down of his life was not only the necessary precondition of his receiving that glory, it was the first stage in his being glorified. If he was to impart resurrection life to others, he must receive resurrection life himself. And to receive resurrection life, he must first pass through death. How could he lead others? How could he lead his sheep if he had first not gone before them? If he did not know where to go, if he did not know the experience, if he did not know the way to life at its full. What meaning or what value do you find in Jesus' declaration that he is the good shepherd of his sheep? To people 2,000 years ago, and for many centuries thereafter, sheep and shepherds were common occurrences all about them. They understood what these applications meant. But you and I, who have no knowledge of this on a first-hand basis, we have to do research into what sheep and shepherds are, and we're likely to think of it in common modern terms, which is totally different. So how do you relate and find value and meaning in Jesus as the good shepherd of us, his sheep? I think there's three things that we need to consider. One is that we humans need God to lead us, to nourish us, and to protect us. The second is that God loves and values us, and that he wants us to have an abundant life, now and forever. And only he knows the way to that. And the third is, God has provided the perfect shepherd to meet our needs. And more than that, he has provided the only perfect shepherd to meet our needs. And his name is Jesus. As we celebrate Christmas, the birth of the Savior, we need to celebrate as well the birth of the shepherd, the only perfect shepherd, to lead us, to nourish us, to protect us, to provide us with the best life ever and forever. Amen? To those of us who have put our faith and our lives in Jesus' care, Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 20 through 21 offers this prayer. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And to everyone, whether you're one of Jesus' sheep or not, Jesus gives these encouraging words later on in John chapter 10, in verses 27 through 28, when he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful reality. What a wonderful hope that we have for this life and the life to come. Are you listening to and following the Good Shepherd? Or are you listening to and following someone who's wild someone who's a thief and has words of trickery, or someone who's a robber who cares nothing about you other than what they can get from you. The good shepherd cares only and fully about you. If you're not following him, won't you come forward this morning and declare your intention to do that from this day forward? Would you do that as we stand and sing this song?